Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, I don't get very much into the technical stuff about how we put the show together, but we use a program that captures audio from Skype and from my audio mixer called Audio Hijack, which is available for the Mac OS platform, Apple's platform. And it has a feature called denoise, where for 3 seconds it will sample the background noise in a recording session and minimize it, sometimes eliminate it. And our guest this week, Chris Rutkowski, having heard of this, had this response.
It absolutely could be proof of reverse engineering from alien technology.
Well, I'll take that over night vision goggles any day.
Good. And Velcro.
Yeah, what's interesting here, they've been laying down fiber optics here in Arizona because Google is going to put up its Google Fiber Internet service up to 5 gigabits.
Whereas we are benefiting from the Starlink satellites up here in Canada, where I think it's 350 installation and then 125 or 150 a month or something like that to get connected to Starlink for super duper high speed internet. So with all those Starlink satellites up there blocking out all the stars, you'd think they were good for something. So maybe that's what we get out of it, is good internet.
Well, their super internet though is a lot slower than that. It's maybe 1 to 200. And the other problem is they increase the startup cost to something like $4.99 or $5.99.
There's always a catch.
There always is. There's never a way. You're not using Starlink, are you?
No. However, we are going to be switching fairly soon because my current internet is pretty expensive. Canada, by the way, is 4 to 5 times as expensive for internet than most other countries, including the U.S. Why that is, I'm not entirely sure, but there's a big uproar and they're trying to get the prices down. So we'll see what happens.
Well, they've made a big deal in this country, which is pretty scattered in some areas, too, where we have people who live in outlying rural areas have no high-speed internet at all, and they have to put up if it's available with satellite, and that's why Starlink comes into play, because unlike the other internet carriers like HughesNet, the latency isn't as bad, so it makes possible conversations like this. What are we talking about? You know, there was an article the other day that I caught, and I sent you a copy of it. And maybe since we're always talking about life in space, we can consider this. Planets without stars might have moons suitable for life. And I know you've just been exposed to the story, Chris Rutkowski, but you're the astronomy expert here, so what do you think?
Well, in theory, I have to agree. Because planets do get ejected from their star systems from time to time for whatever reason. Not quite Velikovsky, ping pong balls or billiard balls. You know, from time to time that will happen. And, Earth, for example, does rely very much on the sun, our star, for heat. But it's true that, if there is some residual radioactivity inside the star or inside the planet, which we still do have, of course, giving us some nice magma and things like that, the planet won't just freeze right away. It'll take some time to cool down. And so this article is suggesting that it could take a billion years or so, which might not be long enough for life to start from scratch. But if they had a head start, it's possible. So in theory, that the stars might have moons and or satellites around them that could theoretically harbor life. Not very many. I wouldn't imagine it's the ideal situation, but I suppose in theory, the mathematical modeling probably does show through.
If we're looking for possibilities of life in outer space, though, it shows the opportunities for it are higher than maybe we would have thought of in the past.
Yeah, I'd have to say, you know, that I would say only a very small percentage. Still, we do have to look, you know, for the standard for life out there in the universe. It's very interesting. Right now, one of the big movies, I guess one of the all-time money-producing movies, Avatar, the second one's out right now. The premise of that is that there is a planet going around Alpha Centauri, or one of the Centauri stars, which is the nearest star system to us. And around that planet is a moon on which the whole premise of Avatar takes place. Now, we haven't discovered such a planet. We're still working on, you know, resolving things around Alpha Centauri, but it's very possible that there is a fairly large gas giant, you know, around Alpha Centauri or Beta or one of them, and that, you know, given the what we know about stellar evolution and planetary evolution, there might be a fairly large, significant moon around that particular planet, certainly the size of Earth at least, and there could theoretically be life on it. So the premise of Avatar, despite whether you like the movie or not, I know a lot of people who really despise the movie, but the premise is actually fairly sound. So it's think of that in those terms if you do go to see the movie.
So James Cameron may have a point with the Avatar series. I just worry about the Terminator.
That is true. That is true. We have a lot more to worry about. You know, as the Drake equation shows, it calculates how many civilizations, intelligent spacefaring civilizations there are in our galaxy. And the equation uses a lot of factors, including, you know, the rate of star formation in the galaxy, how long it takes for life to form, how long it takes for intelligent life to form, how long it takes for, advanced civilizations to form. And then there's an interesting factor there at the very end called L, which is the length of time a civilization exists. And depending on what numbers you plug into this equation, you either get that the galaxy is literally teeming with extraterrestrial civilizations, or there are none. And, advanced and intelligent civilizations. So I'd lean in the direction of the none for the most part, but I would tend to think that the numbers could be small. And there's an argument to be made that we may, one of the few intelligent advanced civilizations in the galaxy, which is cause for worry so much for the species in the neighborhood.
But, well, the other question is, of course, that we can maybe question the terms intelligent and advanced when we look at Earth.
Absolutely, and the length of time a civilization is around. I mean, people are being a little pessimistic these days about, nuclear weapons in the hands of some people who probably shouldn't have fingers on buttons. And, you're wondering, well, is it possible that the length of time that a civilization is around is really only of the matter of, 50 to 100 years, spacefaring civilization? So that would mean that, our days are numbered. Furthermore, some people have already raised the specter of AI, as you mentioned, Terminator, another great movie that, as a matter of fact, I just got a copy of it, Colossus, and it's sort of a version of the Forman Project, where an intelligent supercomputer literally takes over the world and decides to get rid of humans. So it's very possible with the advent of AI, if the AI decides that the best way for it to survive is to get rid of the pesky jellyware that's all over the surface of the planet, then, maybe the length of a civilization also is going to be fairly short. So depending on what numbers you plug into the Drake equation, we're either in good shape or not so good shape, which means we have no idea.
Well, the other thing here, too, is we don't need to have a AI of some sort to do away with us, I think the way we're going, we can do it just as well ourselves. Chris Rutkowski, Tim Schwartz, Gene Steinberg, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard, and when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Chris, talking about, of course, the possibilities of life in outer space, and he says, depending on how you plug in a Drake equation, correct me if I'm wrong, it could be quite a few, very few, or somewhere in the Goldilocks middle. What's your perception?
Well, I think will be fairly few, just given what we've seen to know about stellar evolution and the evolution of civilizations. You know, we only have one example to use as a model, albeit, you know, the one that we have, not necessarily the best one. But, you know, we're here, so we know it's possible for it to happen. A lot of people have argued that because we don't see absolute evidence and proof of other civilizations out there, you know, we don't see interstellar ships zipping around like Rendezvous with Rama illustrated and things like that. You know, maybe there's something going on. This has been described by a number of scientists, the great regulator or something that somehow stops civilizations after they get to a certain point, whether it be something within them through politics, through technology, or outside influences. We simply don't know. I know that there was some calculations about von Neumann machines. Now, von Neumann machines are self-replicating interstellar craft that were speculated by this brilliant scientist named von Neumann, and he suggested that a civilization would get to a point where, rather than sending people out there, the most efficient way to colonize the galaxy would be to get an AI, stick it on board a machine, and then put the machine on board a spacecraft traveling around the galaxy. And it would, you know, it would keep on stopping at various planets. It would continue replicating itself. And the speculation was, and the calculation was, that within a very short time, astronomically speaking, a matter of, you know, tens of thousands of years, perhaps hundreds of thousands of years, the entire galaxy would be filled with these machines that, you know, come from a particular civilization. And given that the galaxy has been around for a very, very long time, why has that not happened? Why do we not see, you know, hundreds of thousands of von Neumann machines zipping around here and there? That does raise some interesting questions. Are they out there and we simply don't see them? Are they, in fact, you know, the UFOs that, you know, are rumored to be seen pretty well everywhere? I don't know. But, you know, people have speculated, and, you know, everybody remembers the classic quote by Enrico Fermi, who, when asked about where all the civilizations were out there, he agreed. He said, "So where are they?" As some people interpret what he said, by the way, as saying that he was, you know, being pessimistic or sarcastic. So where are they? He was just asking the question. So where are they? And, you know, it's a very good question. Where are all these extraterrestrial civilizations? How come they literally haven't contacted us? And, of course, a lot of contactees and abductees insist, well, they have contacted us. They have interacted with humans. There's lots of great stories out there and claims that, you know, they're in an underground cavern in Nevada somewhere, and they're working in conjunction with the United States government. Maybe they're on the moon already, according to some people. But we don't have the absolute proof that's hitting us in the face with a shovel. There's a lot of dirt being thrown on us from that shovel, but, you know, we just simply don't have the absolute proof that this is occurring. And it's true, if there were as many civilizations and interstellar craft zipping around there as predicted by some scientists, we wouldn't need this clandestine stuff going on. We would be seeing these things literally everywhere, and we simply don't see that. So it's the great paradox that you have ufology looking into the skies and talking to people who believe they've seen UFOs, and science saying there should be civilizations out there, there should be extraterrestrials out there, and we simply don't see the absolute proof from either the ufology community or from the witnesses themselves or from the scientists. But there's hope on the horizon if you talk to people like Avi Loeb and the Galileo Project.
Well, the thing I wonder about also here is, if we have all the civilizations, they would have to make decisions as to whether, number one, we deserve to be visited, and if there's so many planets to see, it doesn't necessarily mean they want to come here. If they do come here, what measures would they take not to be seen? Would they care about an existing civilization and how that civilization might be impacted?
There's a great Monty Python sketch on how not to be seen, and I think it's very possible that the aliens might have, you know, been watching Monty Python over the years too. So there certainly is that possibility that they don't want to be seen. This could be one of the the law of first contact from the Federation, from Star Trek, that, you know, you have to do things, you know, so that the civilization doesn't get interfered with. And we're supposed to just progress on our own. So it's certainly possible that that's one of the aspects. But that assumes that all civilizations act in that certain manner. You know, Stephen Hawking cautioned that some of the extraterrestrial civilizations out there might be not so benevolent. They might be malevolent and would be interested in taking us over. So you'd think that half of all civilizations out there would have evil intentions and would definitely make themselves known. Again, we just simply don't know. And that's why, you know, all the movies that James Cameron's producing and the TV shows and so forth, you know, they're great to speculate on. And they're you know, very rich in fodder for you know, having our imaginations run wild and talk about the possibilities of life out there.
You know, we think about one of the films that had such a big influence on the early days of the UFO field, Dave, Earth Stood Still, where Klaatu comes down and says, "Earthlings, get your acts together or we'll take you out." And we're thinking here, this guy, or whatever he is, and it's never really clarified whether the form you see is what it really is, it's not even posed in the film, whether that's what they do. It's a galactic federation, and when civilizations are developing, if they go the wrong way, they take them out. Therefore, there are fewer civilizations.
Yeah, and, you know, science fiction authors have really explored this, you know, these ideas quite well. There's a trilogy that's just been out over the past decade or so, Three Body Problem, by Chinese science fiction author Qin Xu, I think his name is. And he came up with a concept called the Dark Forest, that all the civilizations in the galaxy are afraid to show their faces or, you know, show their light. Otherwise, somebody is going to come get them. And so the Dark Forest possibility has been, you know, we're hiding around trees. We're trying to keep people from finding us out, but we're peeking around the trees looking for others. And, you know, that's there are other ways of trying to figure out and try to interpret how civilizations might be able to observe one another, contact one another. You know, the whole concept of CD is to listen on the radio spectrum, and you know, we've actually sent messages out into the universe through radio waves, and I think there's even been attempts with lasers too.
Let's break here, sir. We've got more with Chris and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is a USA News update. Nashville City Council members say they'll move to reinstate Justin Jones to his seat in the state legislature after he and colleague Justin Pearson were expelled for protesting gun violence in the Tennessee House. An Ohio grand jury will meet Monday to consider possible charges in the fatal police shooting of a black man. Jalen Walker was shot and killed by Akron police last June after a traffic stop and car chase. His death was followed by violent protests The Department of Justice is filing an appeal after a federal judge in Texas issued a ruling halting the distribution of the abortion pill mifepristone. The DOJ is also reviewing a separate and conflicting decision by a Washington state judge that says the FDA must keep medication abortion drugs available. This is Karen Sloan, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So the raw question arises here. I cannot say that there are no other civilizations and that we are the only ones. There may be only two others, but who knows? Whatever here, we have to look at the scenarios that you're talking about. How would they get in contact with us? Would they want to be in contact with us? Would they want to take us over? And if we listen to someone like the abduction researcher, Dr. David Jacobs, they're creating a hybrid race that will quietly, silently take us over. One day they'll say, okay, this is ET, and you're now part of our federation.
Well, I think there's absolutely no question that aliens have come down to Earth and taken over the minds and bodies of humans. How else can you explain what's going on in Washington? Come on!
Well, they'd have to be insane aliens then.
Well, by definition, I suppose. They certainly alien to, you know, what would seem rational, you know, thought here on Earth according to our earlier philosophers. But, yeah, you know, I mean, there's also the idea of, you mentioned, you know, is it possible that aliens wouldn't be all that interested in contacting us for one way or another? Remember the classic Betty Hill star map, where Betty asked the aliens, you know, about the star map that the alien had shown her. And on the map, of course, there were all these stars and these lines connecting some of them, and then a dotted line connecting one of the stars to Earth. And it turned out that aliens, you know, were traveling throughout the galaxy, visiting and interacting, and there's a huge galactic community. And this little dotted line to Earth just meant, well, it's a sort of an exploration thing. We're just dabbling in this particular part of the galaxy. We're not really that interested. So, you know, we're not part of the intergalactic trade. We're not part of the Federation. We're not part of the, you know, the Council, the Galactic Federation, as some contactees believe we are. So, you know, maybe there are reasons why the aliens would be a little shy or not be all that interested in us.
They're waiting for us to develop warp drive.
Yes, yeah. And did we have first contact day just just a number of days ago. I think so. I think we just passed first contact day, according to Star Trek canon. So maybe one of these days.
No, it's 2063.
Oh, right.
Okay. Right. Zefram Cochrane, or is it James Cromwell? I forget. Invents warp drive, and the Vulcans exploring our solar system detect the warp signature. Uh-oh, we better get over there to see what these crazy Earthlings are doing, or whatever they call us, and see if they don't get beside themselves. And if you look at this show, Star Trek Enterprise, the early days of the association between the Vulcans and the Earthlings, they were very, very cautious with us and tried to exert higher levels of control because I guess they couldn't trust Earthlings.
Absolutely. And when I said first contact day, I meant the date itself. I think it was either late March or early April. So I think we just passed what would have been in the future or will be in the future.
Well, then we'll pass it in the future, or pass out, depending on your point.
You know, past, future, these days with quantum physics, it's all the same.
Okay, that, of course, goes to the next question. Could it be that we're seeing ourselves from the future? Or maybe ourselves in a previous civilization having explored the universe and something happens with this civilization, they come back home and, oh boy, it's a mess here.
As a matter of fact, it's quite interesting you mentioned that because right now I am reviewing a preview copy of a book by, I can't remember the title now. It's on my bedside table. I think it's by Hertog. But basically it's a biography of Stephen Hawking. And it's going to be hitting the shelves in a matter of weeks or months, I think. Weeks, I suspect. And in it, it goes into detail on Hawking's wrestling with the concept of time. And how he really didn't like the idea of multiverses, had to eventually accept it, but also the fact that time's arrow does some really weird things, and according to the early days of quantum physics, time itself was created during the Big Bang. And if you assume that there was no Big Bang and that it were actually, a bunch of bouncing multiverses all over the place, time's doing some very strange things going back and forth at the same time and so forth. So, time itself is a big question. I don't personally buy the idea that we're looking at ourselves from the future when you talk about some of the UFO phenomena, some of the aliens coming down to Earth and picking stones and gravel off of a driveway and then heading back into the ship. I mean, you'd have to be, pretty crazy to want to do something like that. All right, it does sound like it's us, isn't it? Oh, wait a minute. Oh. Okay, I take that back.
I just thought the lyrics of a song when you were talking about time. Time, 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 see what's become of me. And when I looked around for my possibilities, that's, of course, A Hazy Shade of Winter from Paul Simon.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts with time.
Ticking.
Yeah.
Time keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking into the future.
And here we are. What are we going to do about it? Busy making a mess. Let me ask the $64 billion question. It used to be $64,000, but inflation has just really inflated the dollars against the value you get for it. Okay. What is going on? What are all these abductees contacting? They're not all making them up, are they?
Well, that's a really loaded question and a big one. Back in the early days of the abduction phenomenon in the 80s and into the 90s, when it was really taking off, I did actually facilitate an abductee support group. And I did it reluctantly, but people had come to me after my lectures and had asked me, I think something's happened. And I remember, interviewing some of them and working with some of them, and they all seem to need some sort of forum in which they could openly talk in a safe place about what's been happening to them. And, of course, there's safety in numbers, so that's why abductee support groups started up. But, of course, ufologists are not trained psychologists. They're not trained therapists. So they're the last people who should be involved in such things, which explains perfectly well why a lot of ufologists started abduction support groups. And I was working with a clinical psychologist who was trained in such. In fact, he had actually worked with me on some clinical hypnotherapy for some of the abductees who had come to me, because, I mean, this was out of my bailiwick for sure. And you know, I remember getting the group together. I think I started the group and I got it going. I think my involvement lasted maybe several months before I realized that my contribution was minimal. These are people who really needed to have some more support. But the problem I found was, of course, if you have, you know, 10 contactees or abductees in a group, and one of them starts talking about, you know, the creature that I, you know, had, you know, was abducting me, had blue skin and slanted eyes, and the person next to them said, "Oh yeah, mine had, you know, yellow skin, and the eyes were more round." And the third one says, "Oh well, you're right. I thought mine was round, but you know, you're right. They were more slanted," and they were starting to, you know, have some of their stories get populated from each other's details, and that was no good either. And then what happened was that some of the abductees had really severe emotional reactions. They're having problems in terms of depression. Some were very, very paranoid. Some had signs of schizophrenia. And it started when one of the abductees had thoughts of committing suicide because the aliens were controlling his every move and were watching him, so his life seemed completely out of his control.
We're out of control right now, but we'll regain it in just a moment. How's that? Okay, Chris, Gene, Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is James Fox, director of The Phenomenon and Moment of Contact. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, when you talk about these abductees, I can understand why someone who's not trained in mental health sciences would want to maybe stay away from this. It's a little more complicated than maybe you expected.
Yeah.
The question is this some kind of psychosis, or are they experiencing something that we do not understand?
That's a really good question. And the problem that I had encountered was when one of the abductees had attempted suicide. And at that point, I realized that ufologists should stay away from the abduction phenomenon, that only really, you know, very professional trained psychologists and psychiatrists should be involved. Not necessarily because the abductees and contactees were, open quote, close quote, crazy, but because they're exhibiting emotional and health issues such as depression. They're not sleeping. They have emotional issues. They have family issues. They are, outsiders in, from the community. Society is relegating them into places that they don't enjoy. And so they're really experiencing some intense issues. One can argue that that's because they were abducted. The other side would be, well, this is why they believe they've been abducted. But in either case, they, certainly should be in the care of somebody who, is experienced in dealing with this sort of thing. I can see that if somebody, believes that they are abducted, that would certainly, mess up your life view, your worldview. You would get in conflict with what science and everybody else in the world is saying. And, you might experience depression. You might experience ostracization. And that would certainly cause some issues in your life. You might not be able to sleep anymore. And for that reason, I often refer abductees and contactees to health professionals, therapists, clinical psychologists, and so forth, even their family doctor, simply because they would be better prepared and better suited for talking with abductees and contactees about these issues than I can. But that's my view. Is the abduction phenomena a health issue, a mental health issue? I don't know. I actually coined something called AINT, abduction. I know it's AAS, Alien Abduction Syndrome, in one of my books. that, you know, these are the characteristics of it, and I leave it to the psychologists and psychiatrists to develop a theory around it. But at the same time, recognizing these are types of phenomena and these are types of experiences that many, many people are experiencing. And, you know, what are we supposed to do with that?
You know, I've over the years, especially when the abduction phenomena are really geared up, I had people approach me with their experiences and, you know, had no interest in publicity or anything like that. And I had a couple of friends who were therapists that I would generally refer them to because, like you said, this was something that I was not qualified to get involved with and didn't want to. But a few of these cases were always really interesting to me because some of these people had no prior knowledge of UFOs or abductions, no interest, had, you know, good family life, you know, previous indications of mental health issues, yet had these experiences and found themselves basically crumbling, for want of a better word. And, you know, so it just, you know, while I'm not a big advocate of the whole abduction phenomena, you know, some of these cases have always left me kind of perplexed because something obviously was going on with them. And a few of these people that I got to know, just really, I mean, they found their lives just completely upended. And as you said, their worldview was just totally smashed. I mean, these were people who were, you know, would come home, have a beer, watch television, go to bed, get up and go to work. Yet they suddenly found themselves faced with something that they had no idea how to handle it. So to me, it was always interesting that, you know, if this wasn't an actual external force placed upon them, then what was it?
Yeah, and I've had individuals like that present to me too. In the case of the fellow, by the way, who I mentioned had attempted suicide, before that, I had worked with the clinical psychologist in a hypnotic regression to try and get to the root of some of his anxiety. And so I was, you know, behind, you know, just like in the movies, behind, I was behind a one-way mirror, and the clinical psychologist was in the room with this abductee, and he was relating about how that he remembered this entity coming through the wall of his bedroom as he was laying in his bed, paralyzed. And couldn't move, and this creature came towards him with kind of a rod with a light on the end. And he was relating under hypnosis how the creature was reaching with the rod, and the light was getting closer and closer and closer to his forehead. And when the moment that he said the light touched his forehead, he had such a violent reaction, he literally jumped out of off the couch and was sweating and panicking, and the clinical psychologist had some trouble calming him down and getting him back under. And when I was debriefing with the clinical psychologist after that, he said, you know, he had been working with the police for a number of decades on the use of hypnosis, and this was the most violent and extreme reaction that he'd ever experienced from any of the people he was working with. I had never seen that before. So something traumatic had occurred to this fellow, and the clinical psychologist had no idea what it was. And then further to your comment about, you know, the person who that you'd gotten to know and didn't have any reason to make stories up, one of the other cases that I recall very well was a nurse who had come to me. Actually, she had contacted me by phone and wanted to know, you know, if I was the guy who was interested in UFOs and aliens, and would I be interested in hearing from her about her experience. And I said, sure, you know, I can hear. So we actually met at a safe place. I think it was at a restaurant somewhere. And she proceeded to tell me her story. And she explained that she had always been working long shifts, always night shifts. And this one particular night, she had finished at like 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that, and decided to go home, freshen up, get a few hours of sleep, and then go back for a little bit later in the morning because, you know, they were short-staffed. And she says she came home, and she came in her door of her, this was in a condo complex, so she came in her door, walked through her living room, got into her bedroom, and as she was starting to get undressed for bed, she heard a bang, boom, and a thump out in the hallway. And she thought, oh, no, you know, the neighbors are causing problems and I'm trying to get some sleep. So she turns around and goes into her living room, and she said there in her living room were two creatures, not the classic gray skin, slant eyes, but these were white, round heads, round, big, huge, staring eyes, and they were, had these sort of togas, white togas that stretched to the floor. And she, you know, her first reaction, though, was to yell at them because, you know, you're waking me, you're going to wake me up, you're keeping me awake, get out of my living room. And they looked at her, and then they looked at each other, and then they looked back at her, and she realized, wait a minute, these aren't neighbors, this is something else. And they somehow telepathically conveyed, you know, would you like to come with us? We'd like to show you your planet. And she says, sure, you know, like, hey, baby, want to go for a ride?
Let's persist with
we will.
This. We will persist in our next segment. We have Chris and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we're going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.